عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها، لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك، والعاقبة للتقوى. وقال أيضا: ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الرجل لا يحرم الرزق بالذنب يصيبه كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله المولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most respected ulama ikram, elders, dear friends, if you look at the economic landscape of the entire world, then you will find that recently there has been a massive change. Over the last few years, there have been massive changes rather, and this is due to various reasons, whether it was due to the lockdowns, whether it was due to looting, rioting, whether it was due to wars or any other reason. But if you find that in many parts of the world in recent times there has been mass financial economic instability, these occurrences have resulted in many businesses, large businesses that have been functioning for decades, having to downscale themselves. Some businesses, some factories, some manufacturing companies having to actually shut down completely and close their doors, resulting in thousands of jobs being lost, lots of unemployment, lots of financial constraints, and this naturally makes people wary, makes people sad, makes people anxious, and gives them sleepless nights, because they are concerned where they're going to get their next plate of food from, how is their rental going to be paid end of the month, how are they going to come out, etc. But if we focus on a few points, on a few aspects, and we think and we ponder about them, then we will realize that whatever the condition is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always in control. Then despite the plight seeming so large, so great, inshallah we will not become overwhelmed. We will not become overpowered, but rather we will be able to sail through these turbulent times, turbulent waters, with ease and afia, inshallah. So ulama explain a few points. Inshallah we'll discuss about four of them. So the first point, or the first aspect that we should keep in consideration when being overwhelmed with this type of information, is that a person should always focus on what he has, not what he does not have. And a person should always look and see and ponder and consider the ni'mas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, what he has in his possession, what he is enjoying, whether it be in his own body and health, whether it be on the shelter that is above his head where he can sleep in a safe environment, whether it be that plate of food that he is enjoying. If he looks at what he has and what he possesses, rather than looking at the possessions of others which he doesn't have, then this is the first step towards giving us some consolement, some comfort, some appeasement, and taking away a part of that grief and that feeling of instability that is in our minds. One hadith sharif, the understood meaning of it is that he has safety for his life, he is safe, and if he is safe in his life and he is enjoying good health and he has sufficient food for the day, then it is as though the entire world has been accumulated for him, before him. Hadith Sharif says that a person enjoys safety, if he enjoys a good health in his body, and if he has enough food, sufficient food for the day, then it is as though the entire world has been accumulated for him. If the entire world is accumulated for somebody, then that means that that person is like a royalty. So Rasulullah is telling us that we should ponder and must think by various different tests that may come upon us. But if we think about it, we are sleeping safely. Take that aspect out of the equation and see how we would feel. Imagine if we were in a war-torn country where we don't know when next a missile is going to be falling onto our heads, onto our homes, resulting in mass destruction. We have no safety. We don't know what's happening at the next moment with our lives and the lives of our families. We don't know if our children have left in the morning to go to school or to madrasa, whether they will be returning home safely. What type of life will that be? What type of life will we be living if this one portion was taken out of the equation? So we understand that safety in our lives, in our wealth, in our body is such a great ni'mat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, if a person is enjoying good health, alhamdulillah, everything is functioning in our body, everything is fine, our eyes are working properly, we can see, our hands are functioning, our organs of the body are functioning, it's an extremely great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will only understand when we speak to those that are experiencing taklif in this. Ask that person who now is aged, he can't stand properly, he can't walk properly, he can't read his salah properly because his knees are troubling him, he's battling. Or that person who's now going into kidney failure, then he has to be on dialysis. Or for that person who has developed some condition in his eye and he's gradually losing his eyesight, and he knows that in a short time he's not going to be able to see at all. So this health, if we take it out of the equation, we don't have health, and we will realize what a great loss it is. And if a person is in such dire straits that he doesn't know whether he's going to be getting food on the plate next, not whether he's going to be getting 5 items on his plate, whether he's even going to be getting a slice of bread on his plate. If a person is unsure whether he's even going to get a slice of bread on his plate, he doesn't know where his next meal is going to come from, imagine what a plight that will be. Imagine what a situation a person will be in. But alhamdulillah, Allah's fazal, Allah's grace upon us, even through the most difficult times that we had been passing through in these last few years, us ourselves in Spingo Beach, in South Africa, even through the riots when there was so much of instability and so much of uncertainty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made intizam for horse and trailers upon horse and trailers, trucks upon trucks of food and supplies to come to Spingo Beach, not only for Spingo Beach, but to be networked and distributed across the board in all the other areas close and around Spingo Beach and KZN. So, coming back to the Hadith Sharif, if we ponder and we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept me safe, I don't have fears of my life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me good health, my body is functioning well, everything is okay, I'm in hospital, and then if I'm in the private hospital, then the hundreds of thousands just keep accumulating. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with a plate of food. I have enough on my plate. I know not only for my next meal, maybe for the next 50 meals, there's enough in the house. This is indeed a great, great boon from the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was once a person by the name of Yunus bin Ubayy rahimahullah, and some person had come to him, and he complained to him that, you know, things are very bad, my business is down, and I'm going through very trying and very difficult times. Poverty is, knocking at my door. Not only knocking at my door, it's coming inside my house also. So Yunus bin Ubayy rahimahullah times, okay, do you have a set of functioning eyes? I says, yes. So he says, how about if you sell me your eyes, your faculty of seeing, for 100,000 dirhams, silver coins? I said, no, it's impossible. I can't do that. Then he says, okay, then your hands are functioning. Alhamdulillah, you have a good set, your arms, your hands, everything is working properly. Why don't you sell me your hands for 100,000 dirhams? He says, no, I can't do that. Then he asks him about his legs, and he asks him about various other parts of his body. And at the end of it, he tells him, if you just look at your own body itself, you yourself has confessed that the functionality of your body and the parts of your body working properly is worth several 100,000 silver coins. So then how can you be complaining about poverty? There was another incident with regards to a person by the name of Ibn al-Jassas Johari. He was at one time considered the most affluent and richest person in Baghdad. So on one occasion there was some problem with the ruler, with the governor, and Ibn al-Jassas was accused of sheltering some person who was going to overthrow the government, overthrow the Khilafah. And as a penalty, the government confiscated from him dinars worth of his assets. 60 million dinars is 60 million gold coins worth of his assets. So you can understand what an empire he must have had. So now naturally, when they confiscated all that from him, now he was gone down, he was gone extremely sad, and he didn't know what was happening. So one of his friends came to meet him, came to console him, and this is a sunnah also, if somebody is going through difficulties, a hard time, some trial, some tribulation happened to them, they went through some, then we should go, we should console them, our Muslim brother, we should speak to them, give them hope. So this person goes, he goes to give him some hope, goes to give him some encouragement, and he tells him that, what about that property you have over there, and what about that other business that you still have over there, and what about that other land you have still over there. So when I added all that up, it still came to a couple of millions of dinars. When he added up all those other things that he still had, leave alone what he lost, what was confiscated from him, so his friend brought to his attention that he still had assets in his possession worth a couple million more dinars, couple million more gold coins. So then when this was brought to his attention and then he realized it, then he's telling his friend, and you know, had you not come and had you not opened up my mind and brought this to my attention to think about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still left with me, then definitely I was on a point of losing my mind, and I don't know what I was going to do to myself and what I was going to do with my life. But alhamdulillah, you have brought it to my attention and you have gave me the realization and you have advised me that there is so much more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left with me. There's so much more that I have to make shukr for. So if we also see some of our friends going through a difficult time, going through a hard patch, going through some trying situation, we should try and comfort them. We should try and console them. We should try and open up their mind. Sometimes when a person is in a constrained situation, then his mind becomes constrained also. He doesn't think, and he himself doesn't look at what other things he has. But if we go and advise him, we help him to understand and appreciate the favors of Allah subhanahu that is enjoying, inshallah it will give the person some consolement, some appeasement, and some ease. The second aspect, so that was the first aspect, pondering over what we have, not over what we don't have. The second aspect that will give us ease in the time of financial instability is managing our finances. The way the West has designed credit systems, they make it sound so glorified and so easy and so comfortable that you don't have to worry about anything. Just swipe the card and carry on. Take it on credit and carry on. You pay for it when the time comes. So one aspect is, if you're not paying up your credit card, etc., on time, and you're going into interest, that's a separate aspect. That's haram, etc. But just look at the taklif that a person goes through. It's easy to swipe the card and carry on swiping the card. But there is going to come a point where you're going to have to pay the bill. There is going to come a point when it's going to pinch you and it's going to bite you. So you're living out of your means. You're not managing your finances within what you have. You are trying to compare and compete with others, or for whatever reason you want to expand, but you don't have the assets yourself. You don't have the hard cash, as they say, cash is king. You don't have the hard cash yourself, but you're living on borrowed money. You're living on the bank strength. And there is going to be a time when it's going to come and bite back at you. And it's worse when trying circumstances come and a person is still in debt. It's even worse. We saw it ourselves. During this looting time, there were certain businesses in our vicinity that took a bad knock. They lost a lot of stock. Maybe a few million rands easily of stock. So when they were approached and the people were trying to sort out some assistance for them, so obviously there had to be some element of transparency, because we are assisting the person and you got to know what's happening in the business so the person can be assisted in the correct manner. So at that time it came to light that one story was this looting or whatever, the riots and the stock that was lost, the damages to the properties, to the shops, etc. But that person was already living on a credit card before the looting happened. He was already in debt because he was running so many things of his life. Maybe his rent at home, or maybe whatever other cars that he wanted to buy, extra things, comforts, luxuries. He was already living on a credit card. So his credit card was already run up. Maybe a few hundred thousand rand. So now you're dealing with the trauma of the crisis that's on your doorstep, and you're also dealing with the trauma that you created yourself for not living within our means, not living within the parameters of what you can afford. It's mentioned that Deen teaches us that taking a debt, taking a loan, borrowing money should be the last resort. When all other avenues fail and a person can't make it any other way, there's no other way out for him, then only should he consider borrowing money, taking a loan. It's the same thing. If you're using the credit card, it's like you're borrowing money. So one incident is mentioned with regards to Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Qatada Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, pious alim of our recent times, who passed away. Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr of noor. It was a time when he was studying in Jalalabad, and on one occasion, his allowance used to come from South Africa. So on one occasion, the allowance was delayed. The allowance didn't reach him in time. So he went to Hazrat Mawlana Masoolah rahmatullahi alayhi to ask him for a loan. So Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi asked him that, okay, you want to borrow the money. Well, what you borrowing the money for? What you want to do? So Mawlana Qatada rahmatullahi alayhi told him that, no, I have a habit of drinking tea, so I need milk to put in my tea. So that's why I need the money to buy the milk. So Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi advised him that, okay, can't you do without the milk for a little while? So Mawlana told him, yeah, I can, inshallah, I'll do without the milk. So Mawlana Ismail Qatada rahmatullahi alayhi did without the milk, and that little bit time passed, and then the money came, then he received this full money. So then Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, Hazrat rahmatullahi alayhi called him and explained to him that, see, if you had taken the loan for whatever, for buying your milk or whatever, and then when the money came to you, and now you would have to part with some of that money, you wouldn't have enjoyed that full money. So psychologically, you had already been constrained, you know, some of it. But now you made do without taking the loan. Now you got your money, came from South Africa, you got the full amount, alhamdulillah, you are easy in your mind, and you can enjoy the money. Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Qatada rahmatullahi mentions that from this lesson, due to this lesson, this incident that Hazrat rahmatullahi taught him, he lived his entire life after that without taking loans, without borrowing money from anybody. One major factor that pushes people in this direction of living out of their means, out of their box, out of their capacity, is looking at the lives of others. Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp profiles, all those things on social media. You're looking at the fictitious lives of others, and you're paining your heart. Hey, that person is going holidays every second day, in a new place. Every second day they're driving a new flashy car. Arey, how you know that thing is real or not real? How you know that person is really living that life or not? But you're bluffing yourselves and you're burning inside. Hey, they're living such a top life. Nobody can put any picture on anything now. You know that. You can be living in a different country every month if you want, fictitiously, in your digital profile. But the reality every person knows. So look at what you got. Look at your own means. Look at your own home. Appreciate what Allah has given you. And aside from the other multitudes of haram that go with all the social media things, this is one major destructive force and factor that it has, is that it makes people try to live lives that are beyond their means, hence making people end up in immense debts. And the third point the ulama explained is that we should place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there for us when we were in our mother's wombs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nourished us without any intervention from our side. How we passed that whole cycle in our mother's stomach, mother's womb, we were born, our mother breastfed us. She saw to everything. Allah ta'ala made the intizam. Allah made our intizam right through our entire life. So now when we got some financial constraint, then that Allah ta'ala is not going to be there. Definitely Allah ta'ala is going to be there. Our reliance, our trust, and our yaqeen must be on it, on this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taking care of me when I was in a far worse condition, when I was unable to fend for myself at the least bit. Definitely that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still going to look after me now. But there are some adjustments, and that's a fourth point. There are some adjustments that we have to make in our lives. The ulama explained to us that for barakah in our rozi, It's a prescription from the Quran Majid and Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that hold fast unto salah, hold fast unto piety and taqwa in all aspects of our lives, and leave sins and leave and give up gunas. Allah Ta'ala says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ. That you yourself be firm, command your families on salah, you yourself be firm on salah. Being firm on salah, ulama explained, means performing the salah correctly, not haphazardly. In the masjid for the men in jamaat, 5 times a day. Correct postures, observing all the adab of the salah, that salah which is going to be a beautiful salah being presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Command your families on salah also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the intizam for your risk, for your rozi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further tells us, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. That person who has taqwa, he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every aspect of life, he benchmarks it against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be happy with. I'll do, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want me to do, I'll keep away from it. If he lives his entire life against that benchmark, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him rozi, uncounted, rozi without counting, from places where he doesn't know. Allah ta'ala will make the intizam for him. And just as salah, just as piety brings about an increase and barakah in one's sustenance, on the flip side, guna takes away the barakah from one's sustenance. The Hadith Sharif says, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقَ بِالذَّنْبِ يُصِيبُ. That the person, a man, he becomes deprived of his risk because of some gunas that he has committed. So for us, the lesson is, be punctual on our salah, keep our families punctual on our salah, in that salah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And observe taqwa and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all aspects of our lives, whether it's our financial dealings, whether it's our dealings with our families, whether it's the way that we perform our ibadah, every aspect of our lives, join up with some pious ulama, join up with some akabirin, some those ahlullah who have linked their hearts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and correct our lives, bring about taqwa in our lives, leave out guna, leave out sins. Inshallah, this will be a means of increasing our barakah in our sustenance and saving our sustenance. Give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wan.